Well, good morning. Good morning, everyone. Very warm welcome to Barkham Church today. It's great to see you. If you're here in person, if you're listening in online, it's great that you're tuning in to us too. It's good to be back, isn't it, with more people here. And we're continuing our series in Hebrews. David is going to be preaching for us again. Before heading off to preach to Christchurch. Julian is away today, taking Charlie up to university. And we've got one birthday coming up this week. Thomas Clements is 5 on tomorrow, I believe. So happy birthday, Thomas. Hope you have a lovely day. And just a brief reminder of our current COVID guidelines. We do ask you to keep your mask on inside the building, except when you're seated and not using your voice. So please wear your mask for singing and joining in the other parts, spoken parts of the service. And do be aware that some people still want to keep social distancing whilst we're inside, so do be sensitive and respect that. Well, over the past few months, we've often said a psalm together at the start of our service. Well, today we're going to have a sort of New Testament psalm. These words you can see on the sheet from Revelation are the Apostle John's account of what he saw and heard in a vision of the singing going on around God's throne in heaven. So I'm going to invite you in a moment to stand and join in the words printed in bold. I'll be saying the other words, you join in the ones in bold. And then this will lead us straight into our first song. So when we get to the end of the reading, please stay standing and we'll sing along to our first song. So please stand. And they sang a new song, saying, "You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, because you were slain, and with your blood you purchased for God persons from every tribe and language and people and nation. You have made them to be a kingdom and priests to serve our God, and they will reign on the earth." Then I looked and heard the voice of many angels, numbering thousands upon thousands, and 10,000 times 10,000. They encircled the throne and the living creatures and the elders. In a loud voice they were saying, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and praise." Then I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and on the sea and all that is in them saying, "To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be praise and honor and glory and power for ever and ever." The four living creatures said, "Amen," and the elders fell down and worshipped.
Yeah.
Please be seated. Awake my soul and sing of him who died for thee. Why do we need someone to die for us? Well, we so deserve to die for all the ways that we reject God and his word to us. But Jesus dies so that we don't have to. As the end of verse 2 says, who died eternal life to bring and lives that death may die. He has conquered sin and death, enabling us to be forgiven for all the wrong in our hearts and to be welcomed into God's family. So let's use this prayer of confession to get right with God again if we've drifted from him or been ignoring him or are being disobedient to him. Perhaps we'll just have a moment of quiet in which we can ask the Lord to remind us or show us anything we particularly need to confess. So let's pray now. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we have sinned against you in thought and word and deed, through negligence, through weakness, through our own deliberate fault. We are truly sorry and repent of all our sins. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for us, forgive us all that is past. And grant that we may serve you in newness of life to the glory of your name. Amen. A verse from 2 Chronicles chapter 7. If my people, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Father, thank you that you've heard our confession and that you delight to forgive our sins. Thank you that Jesus has done all that is necessary to make that possible when all we deserved was death. We praise you and bless you in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, it's just about time for our children to leave for Sunday club and a creche over in the village hall. Sunday club is for those of school age, primary school age, up to 11. So let's just pray for them now. Father, we do thank you for our younger children and the time they can spend now learning of you. And we do pray that you'll be with them, protect them, be with those leading them today, caring for them. And Lord, may your hand be upon this work and use it for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So if you'd like now to head over to the hall, if you're involved in Sunday Club, if you need to take your children over there and do whatever Sunday Club and creche leaders say you need to do when you get there. We'll just have a moment's break. Okay, so Fiona's now going to bring us our reading, and then David will be up to speak. Thank you.
The reading is from Hebrews chapter 2, reading from verse 1. We must pay the most careful attention, therefore, to what we have heard, so that we do not drift away. For since the message spoken through the angels was binding, and every violation and disobedience received its just punishment, how shall we escape if we ignore so great a salvation? This salvation, which was first announced by the Lord, was confirmed to us by those who heard him. God also testified to it by signs, wonders, and various miracles, and by gifts of the Holy Spirit distributed according to his will.
Well, let's pray and ask for the Lord's help as we dive in and look at these verses. We must pay the most careful attention, therefore, to what we have heard. So help us now, please, gracious Father, by your Spirit, to pay careful attention to what you say to us by your precious Son, in whose name we pray. Amen. Well, there are some people, aren't there, who seem to speak sometimes just for the sake of it. They sort of fill every moment of silence with pointless noise. But there aren't many people who do that. Most of us, when we speak, at least most of the time, it's because we're trying to get something done. We're trying to make a difference. So you see mum or dad heading out to the shops, perhaps, or at the laptop doing the online order. We've run out of chocolate, you say to them. Why do you tell them that? Well, not just because you want them to think, oh, that's interesting, we've run out of chocolate, because you want them to buy more of it. Or someone runs into a building that we're in and they shout, there's a fire. What do they want us to do in that moment? Not just file away. Oh, that's an interesting fact. There's a fire in the building I'm in right now. They want us to get out. We speak to make a difference. And today we see it's like that with the Lord. He speaks to make a difference. Think what we've heard him say in Hebrews 1. He's spoken to us by his Son. And it really doesn't. It can't get better than that because of who his Son is and what his Son has done. He's so good, we've seen. He's way better than angels. Jesus is very, very great. That's the message of Hebrews 1. Actually, it's pretty much the message of the whole of the book of Hebrews 2. But why do we need to know that? Not just so we file away that little bit of information. Oh, Jesus is very great in the storage systems of our minds. But because God wants us to do something. And so now, beginning of chapter 2, we see what that is. Why is the Lord showing us how great Jesus is? Have a look, verse 1. We must pay the most careful attention, therefore, to what we've heard, so that we do not drift away. Therefore, it's quite a key word, isn't it? Often an indication that the rubber is about to hit the road. I've told you this, so therefore you do this. Why have I told you how great Jesus is? So you pay more careful attention to him and won't drift away. Which is a sobering image, isn't it? Here's Jesus, all that we're offered and given in him. Just amazing. Such shelter from the trouble that our sins deserve. Total security in Christ forever if we trust him. But like a boat on a current, always the danger that we just drift away from that safe harbour that is the Lord Jesus, out into the lethal storm of the judgment from God, the right judgment that left to ourselves our sins deserve. Don't do that, this is saying. Whatever you do, don't drift from Jesus. And then do just notice the beginning of verse 3 as well. How shall we escape if we ignore so great a salvation? So again, there's Jesus come into our world. Everything that he offers to us, everything that we could ever need or want, found in him. Such great salvation. But you see it sometimes, don't you? Like parents, many of us have been there, like parents distracted by their phones. So we don't notice our children. We're not paying attention to our children. There's a danger we'll be like that with Jesus. Don't do that, this is saying. Don't ignore that great salvation. Jesus is far too good to ignore. So basically, there are just two things for us to see in our passage today. We've got a sense of both of them already, I think. There's a warning and there's an antidote. We'll think about them each in turn. First, the warning again. Whatever you do, don't drift from Jesus. Whatever you do, don't ignore him. I wonder how you feel about warnings. We don't much like them, really, do we? Especially the intense spiritual ones. They feel a bit severe, don't they? They make us very uncomfortable in our day and age. I mean, aren't they more of an Old Testament thing? We might be tempted to think, you know, that idea that we sometimes have, that God's had a bit of a personality change between the Old Testament and the New Testament. So Old Testament full of threats of doom and judgment if we get things wrong. New Testament so much more positive and loving and warm. Well, it's a great theory until we actually read the Old and New Testaments for ourselves. We dive into the Old Testament and find the Lord pleading with his people to come to him for blessing.
And we find him warning us of what will happen if we don't in the new, including here. And read on, actually. We'll see several more times in Hebrews. Some of the Bible's strongest warnings come in the book of Hebrews. Well, that's not very loving, is it? We might be thinking. That's not very positive. Well, really? What was at your front gate as you were growing up? Can you picture the front gate of your house, your front garden? You know what was by the front gate of the house that I grew up in? There was a picture of someone being electrocuted, falling backwards, massive great lightning bolt hitting them in the middle. Not very nice, is it? Inflicting that on a young child? If you're younger here, imagine you had to walk past that every time you go in and out of your house. How would you feel? Was it cruel? Well, it could have been, I suppose, but that's not why it was there, because just a few metres down a path from the front of my parents' house, there was one of those little electricity substations. You know the kinds of things I mean? Fenced off, big keep-out signs everywhere. But even so, very tempting for a foolish boy like me and his friends. And the people who ran it knew it was. So under the words, danger of death, there was that picture of someone dying. Why? Not because they were trying to be cruel or ruin our childhoods, because they were trying to preserve them and encourage us to stay in the place of safety and not climb over into the place of danger and possible death. And that's just like these warnings here. They're given to us by God, not out of cruelty, but out of great love for our good. They're given to encourage us to run to and to stay in the place of safety, the Lord Jesus, and never to budge from him. So verse 1, don't drift from what we've heard, what God has spoken to us by his Son. Verse 3, don't ignore such a great salvation that we have in him. And the thing is, they are such relevant warnings, aren't they, even today? You picture yourself for a moment, if you're a Christian, as a little boat safe in the harbour that is the Lord Jesus. But you look down at the water underneath. We look down and there are so many swirling currents, aren't there? All always trying to pull us away from him. Suffering, that's one current, isn't it? Especially suffering for being a Christian. We have it really easy in our country still compared to so many of our brothers and sisters around the world. But just think about the bemused looks from neighbours when they hear where you've been on a Sunday. The teasing from friends at school. The downright mockery of Christians in the media. The regular accusation these days that we harm society around us by what we believe. So all the time that suggestion, like quite a strong current, that life would be a whole lot more comfortable if we just put a bit more distance between us and the Lord Jesus and ignored him. Then there's busyness. That's another current, isn't it? I mean, many of us know this one. It's not that we're not interested in Jesus, it's just that there are so many other things that demand our attention too. Coursework and revision and sport and time on our phones and qualifications to get and exams to pass and jobs to do and houses to buy and maybe to do up and friendships to maintain and relationships to explore and marriages to build perhaps and children to raise and career ladders to climb and community things to do and parents to care for. And then just as we get kind of to the other end of some of those things, people start giving us really helpful books on things like 100 things to do and places to go before you die. So many other things that we're trying to juggle and focus on. It's no wonder we lose sight of the Lord Jesus so easily and realize we've drifted miles from him. Or temptation. There's another current, a really strong one. Such blessing and safety and joy in the Lord Jesus if we trust him. Yeah, but look how happy I could make you, something else says. If you just do this, or click here, or follow those people. And suddenly we're torn, because there's Jesus, and there's this other rather enticing looking thing trying to pull us away from him, and deep inside us all that sinful nature still, that old sinful nature giving us quite a tug in the direction of that other thing too. And so no wonder that as we start to look at that other thing a little bit, we find we've drifted from Christ. and ignored him. There are so many other things. You'll be able to think of others like currents that are always there trying to pull us away from the Lord Jesus and cause us to ignore him. Yeah, some of us are probably thinking, we might well be thinking, good point, Hebrews, you're right. And I can certainly think of some people who need to hear these warnings, who seem to be drifting from Jesus, who are currently ignoring him. I hope they get to catch up with this sermon today. Well, I do as well. But just notice right now, this isn't just talking to them. It's talking very loudly to you and me too. In fact, I think it's remarkable. The author of Hebrews, notice verse 1, he's talking to himself too. We must pay the most careful attention, therefore, to what we have heard, so that we do not drift away. Verse 3, how shall we escape if we ignore so great a salvation? And that's really humbling, isn't it? Because it makes us realize there are not two categories of Christians in the world, those who are in danger of drifting away from Jesus and ignoring him and those who aren't. We're all in danger of these things. The pull of our culture around us and other people we know perhaps and our own sinful hearts mean what this warns against could so easily happen to us too. So don't, this is saying, just don't, because it is so serious if we do. Notice how Hebrews wants us to get that too. Verse 2, for since the message spoken through angels, in other words, the Old Testament law that was given at Sinai, and angels involved in the giving of the law at Sinai, we're told elsewhere in the Bible, if that was binding and every violation and disobedience received its just punishment, how shall we escape if we ignore so great a salvation? In other words, if what God said in the Old Testament was reliable, and read it, it was, and if people got into trouble for disobeying it, and read it, they did, well, why would we ever think it might be okay for us to ignore what God has spoken to us by his Son? The message that, have a look, middle of verse 3, was first announced by the Lord, was confirmed to us by those who heard him, in which verse 4, God also testified to by signs, wonders, and various miracles, and by gifts of the Holy Spirit distributed according to his will. So Jesus comes into our world, Jesus speaks, Jesus commissions his apostles to pass the message about him from him on to the rest of the world, which they do. And God, by his Spirit, does all kinds of wonderful, miraculous things. You can read about them in the Gospels and the book of Acts. Kind of like trumpet fanfares and flashing lights in the middle of history, just saying, you must listen here. You must look here. This is really important. Why would we ever think it will be okay if in the end we turn a blind eye and a deaf ear to that? So don't. So second heading. Well, what's the antidote then? How do we avoid drifting and avoid ignoring him? We can't miss it really, can we? It's right there at the front of verse 1. We must pay the most careful attention, therefore, to what we've heard so that we do not drift away. Pay attention to Jesus. The most careful attention to what God has said to us in his Son. And it's a very active thing, isn't it? Paying careful attention. See, the thing this passage is warning us against isn't active, notice. Drifting is quite a passive thing. Any dead thing can drift on a current. It just happens if we're not careful. Same with ignoring something or someone. It can be a fact we don't even realize we're doing. I'm so sorry, I didn't realize you were there, we say to people sometimes. Whereas paying careful attention, that is so different, isn't it? That is very active. That really doesn't happen unless we make sure that it happens. So you're following a friend, perhaps, through a really huge, busy crowd at a sports event or a concert or something. Think how you fix your eyes on them to make sure that you don't get separated from them as you walk through. Or if you are into boats and sailing, you're trying to hold a boat in a position and there's a current. Think how you're always checking around you to make sure you're in the same place. Muscles always straining to make sure you don't move. Well, be like that with Jesus, this says, in a world that is full of things that want to pull us away from him. Pay the most careful attention to him And it's interesting that, isn't it? It makes such a difference to the way we think of what it is to be a Christian. Don't you think, what does it mean to be a Christian? What does it mean to be safe in the Lord Jesus forever? Is it having paid him some attention at some point in the past? You know, maybe there was a moment, we can remember it, a kind of a conversion experience where we turned to Jesus, and for a while we were really excited about him. We paid him loads of attention, and now we've got that experience in our back pocket, a bit like a get-out-of-jail card, a free card in Monopoly, and we're ready to pull it out one day when we meet him. Here, Jesus, I've got one of these. I'm okay. Well, no. Notice, what does it mean to be a Christian, to be safe in Christ? This says it's about paying the most careful attention to him today. Because if we're not, it won't just be others around us who drift away from him, it will be us too. We know this must be true because it tells us so clearly that it is true. And I know it's true because I remember so vividly one of the times it happened to me in my life. Ages ago now, when I was still in the MOD, and I got given an absolutely brilliant job there. It was the kind of job that we'd all had our eye on since we joined. It was fascinating and demanding. It was quite flattering, really. Loved it, absolutely loved it. But, well, I still believed in Jesus. I told other people I believed in him sometimes as well. But in my foolishness, almost all my attention went on that job, often working on Sundays, so rarely at church, long, long hours in the week, so hardly reading the Bible on my own, not really having much Christian fellowship with others too, and I drifted. And to this day, I'm so thankful to the Lord for the way that he brought me to my senses and made me realize how far I drifted and brought me back, which in his kindness had an awful lot to do with getting properly stuck in here at Barkham Church, which is way before I started working here. See, he's really not joking in Hebrews. He's not scaring us for fun. In his love, our God in heaven, he's looking at each of us right now and all of us as a church, and he's saying to us, don't drift from Jesus. Don't ignore him. Pay closer attention to him. So, will we? Teenagers, suddenly discovering you've got a bit more choice, a bit more of a say in how you live and what you do. Previously, it was kind of mum and dad. Mum or dad perhaps helped you to keep paying attention to Jesus. Well, what about now? Now it's more up to you. Students heading off to college, really getting away from the apron strings now. No one here able to see what you do. Will you still pay careful attention to him? Run it on a few years with jobs to do and career ladders to climb and friends to stay in touch with and maybe marriages to build and families to raise and after a while perhaps older parents to care for too. So many other really good things for us to give ourselves to that we should pay some attention to, but who will get our most careful attention of all? Maybe you're retired and some of the rest of us are looking at you with envy. Your time at last, the world says. What will you do? Well, who will get your most careful attention? See, it doesn't matter who we are, does it? It doesn't matter what stage of life we're at. This passage asks quite a question of us all, doesn't it? Who or what will get our most careful attention? Will it be something or someone else? Or will it be the most wonderful person of all? Because just as we finish, and we really are just about to finish, that is the thing, isn't it? God telling us to pay most careful attention to Jesus. This is not like God or a parent perhaps saying, stop watching that amazing film, that fantastic match on television, and go and do your homework. Or go and watch paint dry. This is not like someone saying, no more chocolate and Pringles, from now on it's rice cakes. It's the other way around. This is God saying, my son, my glorious son, who the Father is delighted in for all eternity, so glorious that we'll never get our heads around how great he is, and deep into eternity, so beautiful that even deep into eternity, we'll only be more entranced by him. Pay most careful attention to him, God is saying. Don't be drawn away. Don't ignore him, the one in whom we have such great salvation. Let's pray as we finish. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for the great love that you have for us that means you speak these words. We know we need this warning. We pray that you would help us never to think that we could never drift from Jesus or ignore him. And so again, we pray, help us as individuals and together as a church to pay much closer attention to him for his glory. Amen.
Well, one of the ways in which we pay careful attention to what we've heard is by declaring to each other and reminding ourselves of the truths of the gospel. So we're going to do that in a moment using the words of the creed. And can I just remind you to replace your masks for speaking together? I'm sort of exempt for being up here and leading, but if you would do that. But let's now stand and join in. If these are precious truths to you, please join in. So we say, I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Amen. Rich is now going to come and lead us in our prayers.
Hello. I'm going to pray three prayers, firstly for our country at this time, secondly for students returning to university, thirdly for our mission partner, Glenys Goulston, who is she's working in Asia, and we're just going to pray for her this morning. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the promises that we have been seeing in Hebrews recently, just the words about your Son. We thank you that he is the exact representation of you, the radiance of the Father. He sustains all things, and he sits at the right-hand side of the Father. Please help these promises, these words, to encourage us at this time. And we thank you for the goodness of knowing Jesus. We pray for our country in the midst of these difficult times, as many are facing due to shortages of HGV drivers and many repercussions. And we pray that for the vulnerable and those with little resources, please be close to them at this time. Please provide for them. And we pray that your church and those that know you may be able to be an encouragement. We pray, secondly, for the government making decisions. Please give them wisdom at this time in all of their decisions and actions. That we pray that that would be something which happens promptly, and that situations can be resolved. Finally, please help us all to be wise as we are aware of others around us who may be struggling. Second, we pray for students, particularly thinking of those in our church returning to university, perhaps for the first time or that they're going or returning. We just pray that you would give them confidence and trust in you and your promises at this time. Please help them to remember the privilege it is of knowing you that we have seen in Hebrews. We pray for them making quick contact with churches and other followers of you on campus or living close by. Please bless them and give them answers to prayer with this, Lord. And we pray as well that they would find time to pray and read your word and find encouragement from that. Finally, we lift to you Glenys Gulston, working in Asia, our mission partner. We pray that you would be blessing her as she comes to the end of her ministry. Please help her to finish well. Please help her to be strong in you. And we pray that she would have good times of prayer with you, whether she's busy or not, that she would make time and she would have good times of feeding on your words. Please help her to be servant-hearted and to put others first as she comes across problems and issues that others have. And we pray all of these prayers in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Well, we're going to be going outside in a moment for our last song, as has been our practice most Sundays. So if you're listening in on the live link, you'll hear the recording shortly. But otherwise, we'll see you outside in a moment. Please go out in a sort of orderly fashion and remember to give people the space that they would like and not crowd around the exit. And we'll gather on the grass and sing. See you soon.
How sweet the name of Jesus sounds in a believer's ear. It soothes his sorrows, heals his wounds, and dries away his fear. It makes the wounded spirit whole and calms the troubled breast. 'Tis manner to the hungry soul and to Jesus, my shepherd, Savior, friend, my prophet, priest, my king, my Lord, my life, my way, my end, accept the praise I suits his soul.